The unemployment rate for January ticked up to 4% last month, but the jobless rate for women was even better at 3.6%. Here with more is Katika Roy, CEO of Pipeline and a gender economist. Katika, thanks so much for being with us. We've talked a lot about how women have been disproportionately impacted by the pandemic. Something like 3.5 million women left the workforce, and not all of them have come back. So when you look at inside today's report, look at the labor participation rate for women, which was 56.8%. What does that tell you about how women are returning to the workforce?
Well, there was some good news, which is that both Black women and Latinas increased their labor force participation as well as their employment numbers in this latest jobs report that came out this morning. The thing about that is that we still have about 1.3 million women out of the labor force since February 2020. And we could actually close the 4.4 million person gap between the number of jobs that are currently open compared to those who are actually looking for work if we brought those 1.3 million women back. So some good news. However, there's still more work to do.
More work indeed, specifically in that gender pay gap, because you say the pandemic actually widened the gender pay gap by 5 percentage points. Back to 1998 yes. levels. That sounds awful. What are women earning right now, percentage wise, compared to their male counterparts?
The projection was 76 cents on the dollar, that it was actually set back to 1998 levels. And that's an issue not only because there's less money coming into women's wallets, but there's more money coming out of women's wallets for things like student loans or the pink tax. 40% of the time, women pay 7% more for items such as whether it's razors or shaving cream or dry cleaning.
So we have something up here. It says that women earned 83% of men's earnings. That was for the fourth quarter of 2021. So, but when you look at how far we've come, or how far perhaps we haven't come, what does this tell you about what more needs to be done?
Well, there are two things that we need if we look at in the workplace itself. One of the things that we actually need is equity of opportunity as well as equity of pay. The average Fortune 500 company has 60,000 employees, and they make three key decisions across their employees each year, which is performance, potential, and pay. So they have 180,000 opportunities to actually move toward equity. That's the first thing that we need to do. The second is that we need to invest in equitable skilling. And that is, during the pandemic, we actually catapulted forward 5 years in terms of digital acceleration. That means that the jobs that existed before the pandemic don't necessarily exist now. One of the more concrete ways that we can do that is through the infrastructure bill. Women are right now are only slated to gain about 23% of those jobs. If we actually invested in equitable skilling, we could actually have equitable gains of the jobs in the infrastructure bill, which right now is about a 34-point gap.
You know, you said a few moments ago that over 1.5 million women have vanished from the workforce since the start of the pandemic. If some of those women are listening to this interview right now, what can they expect when they return to the workforce in terms of pay? It's always hard when you take some time away from your job, and it's harder to sort of come back and make up for lost time.
Well, it is their employees now, actually, because of that, there are that 4.4 million gap between the number of jobs open than a number of people looking for jobs. Employees now actually have more agency over their work, so more ability to actually negotiate pay, more flexible work, the opportunity to actually negotiate a better opportunity. And so I think it's actually a good thing for women in bringing them back. I think the big question will be, how are companies in particular ensuring equity of pay and equity of opportunity? It's certainly something that can happen now. We have the technology to make that possible at scale, to shift the system from inequitable by default to equitable by default. And the question is, will companies actually do that? And what's interesting about that is we know about 97% of folks who are looking for work are actually asking these questions about, do you have equity of pay? Do you have equity? equity of opportunity.
And a lot of it revolves around transparency, right? I mean, here in New York State, we're looking at companies, they're going to be mandated to post job or salary ranges for jobs when they look for employees. Is that what we have to have happen, mandate transparency in the labor market?
It's certainly a step forward. I'm actually in Colorado, and Colorado has the same requirement in terms of having to post the salary range or the pay range for those positions. It's a step in the right direction, which is good. However, what we also need is the ability to get in front of those pay decisions to ensure that they're actually equitable. The other thing that we have found is that women don't receive equitable performance reviews. And if you don't receive equitable performance reviews, that actually impacts your pay. And so we also need to fix other decisions that are impacting ultimately the pay decision.
All right, Katika Roy, Pipeline CEO and gender economist, thanks for stopping by today. You gave us some stuff to think about for sure.